I better speak to her about Hashem, about davening to Hashem, and not this kind of a thing. And so the queen finished, and she came out, and she says, "Yes, Rabbi, what can I do for you?" "Well, I wanted to speak to you about who you should daven to. They told me that you daven to snakes, and I just came here to explain to you that you should not daven to snakes, you should daven to Hashem. It's much more worthwhile and much smarter to daven to Hashem than to snakes, and I want to explain to you why." And the queen said, "Rabbi, I'm very surprised, especially from you, that you should tell me not to daven to a snake. I would expect that also you should daven to a snake." Rabbi Akiva says, "Me? Chas v'shalom. I believe in Hashem, and I learned the Torah." And the queen said, "But Rabbi, it's from your Torah that I learned that I should daven to snakes. That's what I learned from your Torah. I found out in Parsha Shmois that I should daven to a snake. And so I daven to snakes, because it says so in your Torah." And so Rabbi Akiba asked the lady, the queen, "Where does it say in the Torah that somebody should daven to a snake? How could it be?" And the queen said, "It says in Parsha Shmois that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd by Yisroi. And one day he was taking care of the Shepselach, and he was on a certain mountain, and all of a sudden he saw a burning bush. And the bush was not getting burned up, even though it was on fire. And Moshe realized that something special is going on. And he went over to the burning bush, and Hashem started to speak to him. This is the first time that the Eibishter spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he told him, 'Go to Mitzrayim and take the Yidden out from slavery. Go to Paroi and tell him, let my people go. And you're going to be the leader of the Yidden, and the Goyel of the Yidden, the one who takes them out from Golis.'" And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, "What if the Yidden don't believe me?" All of a sudden somebody shows up and says, "You know who I am? I'm your leader, and I'm going to take you out to Mitzrayim. Maybe they won't believe me. They didn't know that you told me." So one of the things that Hashem said to Moshe is that he should take his stick and throw it down on the ground, and it's going to turn into a snake. And this is going to be a sign that he has some special koyach from Hashem. And he's not just making up these words, because not everyone can make that happen, to take a snake and to take a stick and throw it down to make it to become a snake. And this is going to be a sign that Hashem sent him. And so what happened? Hashem told him to do it right then and there, to watch it happen. And so he took his stick and he threw it down, and it became a snake. This is what the queen is telling Rabbi Akiba. And what happened when the stick turned into a snake? Moshe ran away. He ran away from the snake. And so the queen says like this. She takes her thumb and goes like this. She says, "When he heard Hashem speaking in the tree, in the burning bush, he didn't run away. When he saw the snake, he ran away." What does it mean? He didn't run away when Hashem started speaking. He wasn't so afraid of Hashem, because Hashem is not so powerful. When he saw the snake, oh, he ran far away, because the snake is much more powerful. He was more scared of the snake. So it teaches you that a snake is more powerful than Hashem. So who do you daven to? You daven to the snake, because he's more powerful than Hashem. This is what I learned from your Torah. That's why I daven to snakes. Do you understand, Kenelach? This is the cup that the queen had. This is how she learned Torah. And Rabbi Akiva laughed, and he says, "Punkt verkehrt, the opposite is true." He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem speaking, for sure he was more scared than he was of a snake. Why didn't he run away? Because he knows that wherever he runs, Hashem is going to be there. It doesn't pay to run away. Where are you running away to? As soon as you get there, Hashem is there. Hashem is already there. There's nowhere to run from Hashem because Hashem is everywhere. So there was no reason to run away, even though he was so scared. There's nowhere you can run from Hashem. When he saw the snake, he knows if he runs away, a few feet away, he gets away from the snake. And he'll be safe because the snake is over here and he's over there. So it helps something to run away. From Hashem, there was no helping to run away because you can't run away from Hashem. And so Hashem is much more powerful than the snake, and Hashem is everywhere. And the queen thanked Rabbi Akiba for teaching her correctly what the Torah says. And she took all of her snakes and she threw them all out into the desert somewhere. She cleaned out her palace from all the snakes. And she started davening to Hashem and doing the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noyach. One time, there was a Yid. His name was Rabbi Avraham. A simple Yid, very poor. He had a wife, Kinai Nahara, a house full of Kinelach. And Rabbi Avram worked a whole day, from morning until the night. And he came home with a few pennies. If he's lucky, maybe also a nickel. And if he's very lucky once in a while, maybe a dime. Enough to buy some bread and some onions for his family. Maybe a little milk. And once in a while on Shabbos, a little piece of fish and a little piece of chicken. And that's it. Poor, poor people. And at night time, Kinelach, Rabbi Avram would sit down and learn Torah in his house. And he would forget about how poor they are and feel like a rich man that he has Torah and he has Gemara and Mishnayos and Chumash. But of course, in the morning again, he has to figure out, how will I feed my Kinelach and my wife, and how will we buy clothes? And it was very difficult in Parnassa, in making a living. And his wife never complained, but one day she heard about a tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov. And people told her there's a great tzaddik who gives brachas, and he helps people. And she thinks to herself, why shouldn't my husband go to this great tzaddik for a bracha? Maybe we can get helped. Maybe we can get a bracha to get money that we should have food and clothes. And at night she went to her husband as he was learning, and she says, Avram, there's a tzaddik. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. People say that he's very halik, and maybe he'll give a bracha that we should have some money. And Avram says, I don't want to bother a tzaddik about things like that. I don't want to bother him. He's probably very busy. No, I think I'm just going to stay home. And she says, look, it can't hurt. Maybe Hashem wants us to have a better life. And a tzaddik, if he can do that for us to get Hashem's bracha, why not? Okay, I'll try. It can't hurt. And Avram now walked all the way to the town of Mezibush, where Al Baal Shem Tov lived. And he went to the Baal Shem Tov, and he told the Baal Shem Tov about how he works hard, and they don't have too much money. And they would like it if with Hashem's help they should have more money, can the Baal Shem Tov give them a bracha for that? The Baal Shem Tov says, there's many ways that Hashem can help, but you should know that to be poor is very different than to be rich. You think it's difficult to be poor? Hashem tests a person who's rich even more than a person who's poor. Sometimes the test is more difficult for a person who's rich than a person who's poor. So just be careful. If you do get rich, you should be very careful how you use the money and what the money is going to do to you. And the Baal Shem Tov says, on the way home, you're going to go over a bridge. When you get to that bridge, go down under the bridge and dig, and Hashem will help. You'll find a treasure there. There'll be enough money for you. And Rabbi Avram was very excited to hear the Baal Shem Tov say he's going to find a treasure. And he walked home. On the way home, he came to the bridge. He went under the bridge, and he starts to dig all around under the bridge, but he didn't find anything. And as he's digging, all of a sudden there's another man who's walking over the bridge, and the Rebbe Avram noticed that this is a man that he knows him, because he went to his shop a few times. He's a tailor who makes clothes, and he lived nearby over there, and Rebbe Avram had recognized him. And the tailor says, "Hey, what are you doing over there digging under the bridge?" And he told him that the Baal Shem Tov said he's going to find a treasure, but he couldn't find one. He says, "I guess it was just like a dream that I should find such a treasure. Well, now I guess I have to go home and just have the dream." And the tailor starts to laugh. He says, "You say the word dream? You remind me of a dream I had last night. I forgot it until you said the word dream. I had such a dream last night, also about a treasure." "Yeah, let's hear your dream." "Well, I'll tell you. Far away, I dreamt there's a family. They're very poor. They live in a house that's all falling apart. There's tables that are falling apart and chairs that are falling apart. The kids go around with hardly enough clothes and they have to share shoes and everything. And in the middle of the room is a stove. And I dreamt that this family was so poor and they didn't even know that under the stove was a treasure just right there in their house. Isn't that a funny dream?" As Avram is listening to this dream, it sounds exactly like his house, his family, and his stove. And Rabbi Avram says, "Well, maybe your dream is a very good dream. I'm going to have to get on home now." Rabbi Avram went home, and for some reason he felt that when all the kids are in bed at night, he wants to dig under the oven to see if maybe there's something in the dream that's really true, because it sounded just too much like his house to be a mistake. And when the kiddies were all sleeping, Avram started to dig, and he found a box. And he opened up the box, and in the box was gold and silver and diamonds, a treasure worth a fortune. He was so excited. But he decided he's not going to just all of a sudden spend it and make himself to be like a rich man. He'll be very careful how to spend it, like the Baal Shem Tov said. And he also wanted to say thank you to the Baal Shem Tov. And he also wanted to say thank you for the tailor who had the dream, because otherwise he would have never found it. And sure enough, the next morning, he took a lot of money for tzedakah and he put it secretly in the shul, in the pushka, and he took two bags of gold and silver and diamonds, one to give to the Baal Shem Tov and one to give to that tailor. And he starts to go back to Mezibush, to the Baal Shem Tov. And on the way to Mezibush, he's crossing over the bridge, and he finds the tailor is walking on the other side of the bridge. And the tailor says, "Hey, Avram, I was just coming over to your village to find out where you live. I have something for you." And he says, Avram says to the tailor, "And I was just coming to look for you." "Oh, yeah? Why?" He says, "You remember that dream you had? It wasn't just a dream. I found the treasure under the stove, because you were dreaming about my house and my stove, and I found the treasure. And I brought a purse of treasure to give to you." And the tailor says, "Nah, I don't need that, because I remember what you said about the treasure under the bridge. And I went down under the bridge, and I thought to myself, you were digging on this side of the river. Maybe you should dig on the other side of the river. So I went and crossed over the river, and I dug up under the bridge, and I found the treasure, just like the Baal Shem Tov told you. And I found it. And I decided that, listen, you gave up on it, and I found it, but it's no fair that I should keep the whole thing. So I decided I should give you a big bag of gold from the treasure that I found." And each one was holding his own bag of treasure to give to the other one. And each one was saying, "No, I don't need it. You keep it." The other one says, "No, you have it. No, you have it." Each one wanted to give the other the treasure. They decided they should go to the Baal Shem Tov to find out what to do. And they both came to the Baal Shem Tov, and they explained the problem that each one became a rich man and each one wants to give each other the treasure. So the Baal Shem Tov says, "Look, do you have a son or a daughter?" One of the men said, "I have a son." And the other one says, "I have a daughter." "How old are they?" "Well, are they old enough to have a chasana?" "Yeah, they're old enough to get married." "Okay, so I suggest like this. You make a shidduch. Your chasan should marry your kala. And the money that's in the bags, you should give to them, that they should be able to have a nice chasana and have a nice house. And before the chasana, the father of the chasan should find a poor chasan to help him. And the father of the kala should find a poor kala to help her. And make for the poor chasan and kala first their chasana. And with money that you have, help them to make a nice chasana and build it, to have a nice house with everything in it. And then afterwards you make your chasana." And so that's what they did. They did exactly what the Baal Shem Tov said. They were very careful how they spent their money and how they used their money for mitzvahs. And Hashem benched each one that they should be rich and they should use the money in a smart way, in a Torah way. Okay, what I'm explaining now is not that we believe that Hashem made the world, but that we know that Hashem made the world. And here's the story. One time there was a king who used to read a lot of books. He was a very smart king, a goy. And one time the king said to his officer, "I want to read a book called the Torah. I know that the Jewish people learn Torah, and I want to read that book and see what it's about." And they brought the king a chumash that was translated into the language of the king. He read it in English or whatever it was, and he sees the beginning. It says, "In the beginning, Bereishis, Bara Elikim, Hashem created Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis HaAretz. Hashem created the heaven and the earth. Hashem made the world." The king said, "Wait a minute. How do I know that Hashem made the world? I don't see Hashem. I don't know where He is. I don't see anybody that made anything. Maybe the world was always here. Maybe the world was always here and nobody made it. Maybe it just happened by itself or something. Because I never saw Hashem. And he said to his officer, call the rabbi from the town and bring him to the palace. I want to speak to the rabbi. Maybe he could explain to me something. And the king brought the rabbi. The king sent a messenger and the rabbi came to the palace. And the king says, rabbi, maybe you could explain to me, how did the Jews know that Hashem made the world? Maybe Hashem didn't make the world. The Jews are supposed to be very smart people, and they keep talking about Hashem, that He made the world, and they learn all kinds of books all the time, and they daven to Hashem. I never saw Hashem. Maybe He's not really there. Chas v'shalom, right? How do they know? Explain to me. And as the king was sitting by the table, on the table was an inkwell. Now in those days, they didn't have pens like I have, that inside is the ink inside of a certain kind of a thing. In those days, they had a feather, they had a cup, and inside of the cup was black ink, like a black kind of a liquid. They would dip the feather into the ink, like a sefer does. They still do it that way to write tefillin and mezuzahs and sefer Torahs. They use a feather, they dip it into the ink. It's called a quill. Very good. And they write like that. That's how they used to do it. So the king, of course, on his desk had an inkwell that he used to write things with. And as he put his hands on the table to listen to the rabbi speak, by accident, he spilled over the ink onto the table and onto the papers on the table and made a big mess by accident. There was ink everywhere, running all over the place. And the king says, oh my, I turned over my inkwell and made a big mess. I better call my servant to clean it up. And the king went out to get a servant to clean up the mess. And the rabbi was alone in the room, and he was thinking how he's going to answer the king, to show even that the king should understand that Hashem made the world. All of a sudden, the rabbi got a very good idea. The rabbi was sitting on a comfortable chair next to a window. Now, this was the king's office, and outside of the king's office, you could see beautiful gardens, flowers, bushes, trees, and you could see mountains, and there was a river, and there were fields, and there were birdies flying in the sky, and the sun was shining, and the sky was blue, and there were clouds. A very beautiful scene out the window. Very quickly, the rabbi ran over to the desk, he cleaned up the desk, made sure there was no ink running all over the place, then he took a clean white paper, and he took the feather, and he took some more ink over there, he poured it into the inkwell, because there was a thing to pour more ink in, and the rabbi happened to be a very good artist. He could make nice pictures. And he looked out the window and he copied exactly what he saw out the window, and he copied it on a paper. He drew the gardens, he drew the flowers, he drew the trees, he drew the river, he drew the mountains, he drew the birds flying in the sky, the sun shining, and it looked very, very much like exactly what you look out the window, almost like a camera took a photograph, and he made everything look very, very real. And he made the picture very quickly. Then he poured the rest of the ink that he didn't use back into the bottle. He took the inkwell and turned it upside down, right next to the picture. And he went back to his chair. And he sat down in his chair, and he pretended like nothing happened. A minute later, the king came in with a servant. And the king says, "Servant, please go to my desk and clean it up. There's a very big mess there because the inkwell turned over and spilled everything all over the place." And the servant goes over to the desk and looks down to find the mess. "King, where's the mess? I don't see any mess. All I see over here is a beautiful picture." The king says, "What do you mean? It's impossible for there to be a beautiful picture. There's a big mess on my desk. The inkwell spilled over." And the servant says, "King, please come here and take a look for yourself." The king goes over and he sees such a beautiful picture on his desk and no mess at all. The king says, "Wait a minute, how did this picture get here? Rabbi, you were here. How did this picture get on my desk?" The rabbi pretends like he was like thinking about something else, looking out the window. "Oh, king, you spilled over the inkwell and it ran over your desk. Probably the picture happened by itself when you spilled the ink. It just made the picture. That's what happened. You spilled the ink and it probably just made the picture." "No," says the king, "impossible. You can't have such a beautiful picture like this happening by itself. Somebody must have made it. Somebody smart must have made it. Because over here, is, look at the pictures of birds, pictures of trees, of flowers. It looks so real. No, this could not happen by itself. It's for sure that somebody, and a very smart person, made this picture." And the rabbi smiled and he says, "King, this is the answer to your question. If you say, king, that this picture, which is only a picture, this could not happen by itself, it must be that somebody made it, and not only somebody made it, some very special smart person made this picture, then king, look outside. This is only a picture of outside. Outside is even more beautiful. Outside is real. And the birds have colors. And the flowers have colors. And everything even works and it moves. Wouldn't you say, king, that outside what you see in the world, somebody made it? And it didn't happen by itself? And not only somebody made it, but somebody very, very smart made all the things in the world. And they couldn't happen by themselves? Just like the ink couldn't spill and just by itself make the picture?" And the king says, "Rabbi, you're a very smart man. Who made the world? Oh, it must be Hashem. Otherwise, who could do it? Now I understand the world couldn't happen by itself. It couldn't just be there by itself. Somebody had to make the world. Somebody very smart had to make the world. And it's something